Welcome to the Bill and Rookie podcast for this 18th day of March. It is 2021, in case you are wondering. And earlier today on the Bill and Rookie Experience, which, by the way, you can hear Monday through Fridays, beginning at 6 a.m. right here on The Fan, we were talking just briefly about listening to games on the radio. And you had mentioned, certainly both of us grew up listening to games on the radio. I think Marsha was the emailer that mentioned or suggested that for you. If you don't have the cable, you might not be able to see a lot of Brewer games, so you're going to have to listen to them.
Right.
Got me wondering, who were the guys that you grew up listening to that you still remember, guys that you heard on the radio? Do you remember some names of guys?
You know, it's kind of funny. For sure, the ones that I remember the most, my younger years primarily in Minnesota before the family moved to Colorado, Twins games on the radio were Herb Carneal. Did the play-by-play. And then I always wanted to be Minnesota North Stars games. Al Shaver did the play-by-play for the Minnesota North Stars. Just classic, great voice. And, Herb Carneal, Twins, and Al Shaver for the North Stars. Mm. Remember him like I'm back in my childhood days. Bill, what about you?
Well, I had several different guys. It's interesting. When I was a little kid, when I first started listening to games on the radio, probably in the mid-70s, it was probably around there, Jack Brickhouse was their radio guy for the Cubs. And Jack Brickhouse was one of those old-time radio dudes. You know, he started in radio in like the 30s. You know, he was probably close to 70 when I was listening to him in the 70s. He was born, actually, he was born, I just looked it up, he was born in 1916. So he was, 60 anyway when I was listening to him. So I thought he was old when I was, five or six. but he was great. And he was a longtime Chicago sports voice. And he did the Bears. He did the Cubs. He actually did the White Sox, too, for a while prior to joining WGN. He did actually White Sox before the Cubs. But he had a signature home run call, hey, hey, when the guy would hit a home run, hey, hey. And that now today, that hey, hey, if you've ever seen it, is on the foul pole at Wrigley Field, on one of the foul poles. It says hey, hey in there. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that was Jack Brickhouse's call. And then after Brickhouse, and he also used to work with a couple of other guys. Vince Lloyd was one of the guys, Lou Boudreau. I always remember Lou Boudreau.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former player, and he was a great player. And he played with the Cleveland, played with a couple different teams, but he got famous, won a World Series title with the Cleveland Indians, and actually was a player manager for them. And I think he played for them for a long time. But it was funny, I learned later that Lou Boudreau actually had something in his contract that they had. If they had like a rain delay or something, he worked on the TV and the radio, but he worked when he was on the TV side. If there was a rain delay in a Cubs game, they had under contract for them to play like the 1946 Cleveland Indian story. They had to play that like two or three times a year or something because he was the player manager of that team that won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of his deal. But Jack Brickhouse, and then Brickhouse led to Harry Carey, I believe. I don't know if Brickhouse went all the way to Larry. Actually, there was a couple guys in between. Milo Hamilton was there for a minute. He only did it for 1 year with the Cubs. He left the Houston Astros, joined the Cubs.
Right.
Didn't get along with Harry Carey, I believe, was the story. And so he left. Because they used to have, Carey used to do radio, or used to do TV for three innings. He'd leave the middle innings and go do radio and then come back for the final.
Okay.
But so I used to listen to him on the radio. And then, of course, for hockey, I grew up listening to Pat Foley on the radio.
Pat Foley, I thought we were talking radio. Pat Foley, see, I was an AM geek, AM radio geek, you know, spinning around trying to pick up those 50,000-watt flamethrowers that you could at night.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, Pat Foley, Bruce Martin from the Detroit Red Wings was another real good one from back in the day. Dan Kelly, I believe, did the St. Louis Blues for the longest time. You could pick him up on KMOX out of St. Louis. He was really, really good. A lot of mine's hockey. You know, when you talk about signature calls, you talked about the what was it, Hey Hey, is that what you said?
Yeah.
John Gordon, who did Twins radio broadcast too, I believe alongside Herb Carneal for a little bit, but then later on after Herb Carneal had retired, and his when somebody would hit a Twin would hit a home run, it would be, touch a ball, Kirby Puckett. You know, and so, yeah, lots of good radio guys.
Yeah, and then I had also, it's funny, but when I was like, you know, in the 80s, the Bears radio voice for several years was Wayne Larrabee.
Sure.
He did the Bears games for, I don't know, how many, 7, 8 years? And that's kind of when he's the first guy I actually remember doing Bears games. Because before that, I remember listening to the Bears too much on the radio. But Wayne Larrabee, and then for basketball, for the Bulls, they had a guy named Jim Durham, who was great. He did the Bulls games on the radio forever, 25-something years. He was fantastic. I used to love listening to him. He passed away a few years ago, and it was a sad thing. But he and a guy named Johnny Red Kerr. John Kerr was the first ever coach of the Bulls, and then joined the broadcast team, and he and Jim Durham worked together for a long time, and they were great.
I don't know
they
if
were great fun.
I don't know if I'm mistaken or not, but I think back in the day, because even when we're talking about our childhood, when we grew up and listening to the radio and broadcasters, you're going back 40 years,
right?
Maybe even a little bit more.
That's
a long time. And I think back then, voices were more distinct than they are today. And even if you go back further than when we were kids, and you go back to, let's say, the 50s and the 60s and so forth, you didn't have to have that big, booming, baritone voice and all that. I mean, there were different kinds of voices.
Yeah, Red Barber.
Yeah, all over the place. And they were very distinctive, and you could identify them right away. Not just maybe your hometown announcers, but other announcers. And I'm not sure that's the case today, where you have to have this particular sound, right? You can't have a high.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You can't have a high squeaky voice. You got to have a bit bigger and deeper and more powerful voice if you're going to do that. The radio voice, as they call it.
Just listen to any game nowadays. Yeah, you're right about that. I think the Red Barbers and the Russ Hodges and Ernie Harwell, those guys, of the old school. Even Jack Buck, Lindsey Nelson. How about Lindsey Nelson?
Mm-hmm.
His voice was very unique, and as soon as you heard him say hello, you knew it was Lindsey Nelson.
Right.
Yeah, you're right about that. They have you got to be the polished, deep voice, clean as a whistle kind of guy now. But I thought it was funny because when you mentioned that, it just made me think about who I used to listen to, and you transistor radios and all that stuff that you could take with you.
Yeah.
It changed the way people listen to radio.
No doubt.
Then, for sure.
You know, I was devastated when I moved to Colorado back when I was 12 years old. I was devastated. And I would tune in Minnesota North Stars games on a radio. They didn't come in crystal clear halfway across the country, but it was good enough to hear. And you know, you'd listen close, and it was a piece of home at the time, really, after I first moved.
When I was living in Tennessee in the late 90s, I used to do play-by-play for one of the local high schools. In their conference, there were teams in their conference where you had to drive like an hour and a half to get to these schools. They were so spread out. And so I had some nights where I was on the road for a good bit, and I used to, especially at night, when you can pull in some of these stations on AM radio, I used to be able to get WLW out of Cincinnati.
I was just going
to
say that one. WLW.
Listen to Marty Brenneman doing Reds games while I'm driving around the middle of Tennessee. It was great.
That makes me want to go.
Search.
That makes me want to go and get the big 50,000-watt stations and make a list of it and keep them in my car and dial them up when I'm driving around. Usually you had to do it under, after sunset, right? When other stations were powered down and all that stuff, exactly. And they'd have the big 50,000-watt flamethrowers. But now it kind of makes me want to go have a little stroll down memory lane and make a little list of all those 50,000-watt flamethrowers and see if I can't tune them in now.
Or you could just get a satellite and you can listen to any one of them if you want.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're all on satellite. I don't know if those are all on satellite or not. I mean, now I do have the NHL thing on my phone, on my app, and, you know, lots of times when we're coming home from practice or whatever, we'll dial up a game and listen on the radio. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever get to meet any of those guys that you used to listen to when you were little or anything like that?
No, I met Ted Robinson. Who worked over in the Twin Cities. I think he went on to do San Francisco Giants games for a while. But that was back when I was in broadcast school. And he actually did it, and he did critique some tapes for people and stuff. And I was fortunate enough to have one of his, him critique one of my tapes and get to discuss with him. And he said, I think someday, young lad, you're going to be able to cover the NFL in Green Bay.
Wow, really? Prophetic. I actually went to, I don't know if I ever told you, I actually went to a broadcaster's camp.
They still have a lot of those going on.
I went to one of those when I was like 21 years old. I was in college, and it was run by Bob Miller, who was the voice of the LA Kings
for many
years. And it was down in Atlanta, so we got to meet Chip Carey, Skip Carey, Harry's son.
Yep.
Not Chip. I didn't meet Chip, but I met Skip. He was there, and Bob Miller, and that was my first, but when I had my first press pass was to a game was during that. Went to a Braves Dodgers game at Old Fulton County Stadium and bumped into Vin Scully down in the tunnel. A bunch of us did, and he stopped and had a word with us real quick. That was great. It was great. But I also ran into Pat Foley one time at a bar in Chicago. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I'll save the details of that, but, yeah, so it's great. It's great to remember some of those voices, the classics that we listened to and grew up and probably made us want to get into this business
Absolutely.
In the first place.
Al Shaver, no big influence.
Yep. All right, well, it's fun to take a trip down memory lane. Got to go. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, on the Bill and Rookie Experience right here on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400, The Fan.